Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. Hope you have a nice weekend planned. We've got a lot of movies for you to choose from on Film Week coming up with our critics next hour. We'll hear what they think about the brand new Shaft film. Samuel L. Jackson returns to the title character role. Jesse T. Usher also co-stars, and the original Shaft, Richard Roundtree, in the cast. Also, Men in Black International, starring Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth, and the new documentary from Martin Scorsese, Rolling Thunder Review, a Bob Dylan story. That's just the start of the films that we'll have to review coming up next hour. Later this hour, we'll talk about how the two nights of Democratic candidate debates have been set. The Democratic National Committee announced just about 25 minutes ago what the lineup will be for June 26th and June 27th. They'll break the 20 candidates, the qualified, into groups of 10 each, and we'll talk about that. But we begin with the passage of the state budget. Earlier this week, we talked about the deal that was reached between Democratic leaders of the legislature and Governor Gavin Newsom. Now we have the budget itself passed, and with us from Cal Matters, a staff reporter who covers the economy, finance, and the budget, Judy Lynn. Judy, good morning.
Nice to be here.
Let's start with, first of all, the size of this. Is this a record large budget spending-wise?
Indeed, it is. It's a whopping $215 billion when you account for all the state's discretionary funds, special funds, and bond money that comes into the state.
And this, of course, in response to it being a very good revenue year, and we'll talk with H.D. Palmer about that momentarily. But this is a case with the supermajority Democrats have in the legislature. They don't need Republican support. And this was a straight party line vote. Democrats all in favor, Republicans all opposed.
Yes. All as usual, as expected, the Republicans, no Republicans supported this bill, and it was passed by a straight majority of Democrats, and that's all they needed.
Let's start with health care. And here there is a mandate, a state mandate that California has implemented that everyone have health insurance. And Medi-Cal is being expanded to young adult undocumented Californians. What's the cost of expanding Medi-Cal up to age 25?
Yeah. So on that, you know, this is a step that a progressive California is taking to get to health care coverage for all. The state already under Jerry Brown had expanded Medi-Cal to adults without children without legal status and up to 18. And now this move incorporates the young adults ages 19 to 25. And it's a cost of $98 million a year, because we're expecting about 90,000 people to qualify. So those are the rough numbers. They're significant, but by California's 40 million population standards, it's not the biggest movers.
Also with us, as I mentioned, H.D. Palmer of California's Department of Finance. H.D., good to have you with us again.
Hey, Larry, great to be back.
Let's talk about the paying for the Medi-Cal expansion here. Is there concern, since the state has to pick up the full cost of this, federal dollars don't go toward coverage of undocumented Californians, is there concern that as revenues might decline in the future, there won't be the money to cover up to age 25?
We've looked at a multi-year projection of the state's finances, and we believe that we can accommodate the spending within that window. A couple of notes on that. One is that whether these individuals are undocumented or not, it's important to note that a lot of the care can come from more costly services that are provided through emergency rooms. So despite the citizenship status, it is far more effective and less costly to provide treatment through a primary care physician than it is to do it through an ER. And actually, the federal government does provide reimbursement to states for the cost of emergency and pregnancy-related services to individuals regarding their citizenship status through Medicaid, which is California, is known as Medi-Cal. And that's a federal law that dates back to the Reagan administration.
H.D., Republicans have expressed concern that the revenue in California is so volatile. As we know, it's highly dependent on what sorts of revenue is being generated by the highest tier economically of Californians. Do you have any concerns that as ambitious in spending as this budget is, that it's setting up programs that are going to have to be ratcheted back in years to come, if not Medi-Cal, other programs?
First of all, Larry, the governor, Governor Newsom, is extremely aware of the volatility of the state's revenue. That's why he put a significant amount of dollars in this budget into reserve. The total amounts are about $19.2 billion that are going into various budget reserves, whether it's the traditional budget reserve or special fund for economic uncertainties, whether it's the new social safety net reserve for healthy human service programs, whether it's the reserve that's going for schools. So there's a significant amount of money that's going into reserve with a recognition that, as you noted and others have, that the revenue system is very volatile. One of the things that the governor also insisted on in terms of any new spending is that we know that our fortunes can change rather quickly, depending upon, for example, what happens with the financial markets. So the governor insisted on a number of these programs having a suspension clause built into them so that the spending will occur and then suspend in 3 years. There are roughly 20 programs that are affected by the suspension provision, so that if our fortunes change and if we have to revisit these programs, then there's going to take an affirmative vote of the legislature to renew spending for those. So we've got a built-in spending circuit breaker that's in there at the governor's insistence. Plus, we've got a significant amount of money that is built into what's called, the governor refers to as budget resiliency, which is paying off debt, building up our reserves, and paying down a number of the liabilities that we have, for example, in the state's pension system, ahead of schedule. So a significant amount of money is going into that so-called budget resiliency. As a share of it, it's well more than half of the estimated surplus of $21.5 billion that's going into that reserve, that those types of paying down debt, paying off obligations and things of that sort.
Want to open it up to listeners. If you have questions about the California budget just passed by the legislature following agreement reached with Governor Newsom, we're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We have a question, maybe HD you can answer, JSCast. The cost time bomb of Medi-Cal for seniors was dropped, but is capitation coverage for young adults really only just over $1,000 each?
Well, that is somebody who is asking a question that is very versed in the intricacies of Medi-Cal.
Going to say.
It is the second largest program that, in terms of a share of general fund that the state spends right after K-12 education. One of the things that the governor is pushing for that'll hopefully reduce the cost in Medi-Cal and reduce the cost to its consumers is reducing the cost of prescription drugs. He has entered into agreements with several counties in terms of trying to leverage the state's purchasing power so that we can provide prescription drugs in a much more economical way to Medi-Cal recipients. And that's a significant amount of the Medi-Cal cost. We've got roughly 14 million Californians out of 40 million who receive their health care through Medi-Cal, roughly one in three. So the governor will continue his efforts to see how we can continue to make health care more accessible but more affordable at the same time. And there's one of the areas in Medi-Cal that he's been very active on since taking office in January is on the issue of the cost of prescription drugs.
HD, also wanted to ask you about paid family leave expansion there, that passed in this budget?
Yes, it did. We're looking to increase the time on the state's paid family leave by 2 weeks. That'll be done by drawing down the reserves in the Disability Insurance Fund in a manner that still provides an ample and adequate cushion for that. But that's something that, that the governor has indicated as he was seeking office, that he was going to go forward and push in terms of his family agenda. And it's something that the legislature concurred with.
Is the cap and trade money going to go toward the water cleanup for Central Valley communities with contaminated household water sources?
There is a provision that is in the budget to direct about $100 million in so-called cap and trade revenues to begin to implement a safe and affordable drinking water program that's going to provide a stable, ongoing fund source. It's important to note that despite more than $3 billion in investments that we've made in the state for state drinking water since 2010, many water systems throughout the state, particularly those that are serving small and disadvantaged communities, are failing to provide safe drinking water to their customers. About 1 million Californians right now lack access to safe drinking water. And that's something that the governor really shined a spotlight on, if you remember his State of the State address back in January. So we believe that this is an appropriate use of these dollars to provide a stable and ongoing fund source for safe and affordable drinking water. And we believe that it's an appropriate use as well because it advances the state's climate resiliency goals by helping to secure water resources statewide. And the legislature at the end of the day concurred in the governor's view on that.
Judy Lynn of CalMatters, staff reporter, want to come back to you about education. There is additional educational funding here, but what about efforts to rein in the growth of charter schools in public school districts? What's happened with that legislation?
So that is moving forward. There was a request in by the administration to prohibit charter schools from blocking or disenrolling special education students. They tend to require more support for their disabilities. And lawmakers did embrace that change, and that is in the budget. And that is concurrent with some of the other legislation that's being proposed and moving through the regular session of the legislature.
And Judy, just real quickly in closing, what was the most contentious of this issue where you had division among Democrats?
Yeah, I would say there are some issues still outstanding. There's tax conformity, this proposal from the administration to update our state tax codes to align with the federal changes that were made by Republicans in Congress in 2017. In doing so, it would raise some taxes for businesses by reducing their deductions. So that is an outstanding issue that still needs to be worked out because some Democrats in swing districts are concerned that, it would look like a tax and they could be recalled. And there's that fear hanging out there.
Judy Lynn, staff reporter for CalMatters, good to have you with us. And H.D. Palmer, California Department of Finance, thank you, H.D., for joining us as well. Coming up, we'll take a look at the legislative battle over whether ride-hailing company drivers should be classified as employees instead of independent contractors. And if they end up being employees in California, are ride-hailing companies economically viable? Can they provide the benefits, higher compensation that would likely come from employee status, and keep fares low enough that people will use ride-hailing companies? We'll talk about that back in 1 minute.